We're going to be looking together at one of the parables that Jesus told about a rich and greedy man, and Joe's going to come and read that to us now.
Yeah, we're going to read from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, found on page 871 in the church Bibles. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'"
Now then, if I could just ask the boys and girls if they would make their way to the front. Join me here. Now, who can tell? Have you heard that story before? That story that Joe read to us from the Bible? Put your hand up if you've heard that story of Jesus about the rich man who had lots and lots of things and built a big barn. Have you heard that before? I know I have. It's very familiar, but it's important that we think about it again, and we're going to do that this morning. So can I have the first slide, please? All right, we have a story of a rich man. Now, what do you think of? What? Yes, he's here. Yeah, he's arrived. Good, good. What do you think of when you hear the word rich? What does it mean to be rich for people today? Yes. Like a millionaire. Okay. And what's a millionaire? Anybody know what a millionaire is? Someone who has lots of
money.
Okay. When we think of rich, are there any other things that we think about? Do we think of money? Maybe we think about big houses. Yeah. Or fancy cars, or diamond rings, all kinds of things that we think about when we think of a rich man. But in the Bible, a rich man is someone whose possessions were normally his land and his animals. So when Jesus told this story and he said there was a rich man, he didn't necessarily mean that this guy had lots and lots of money, because money could go up in value and down in value extremely quickly in Jesus' day. So if you were rich, you had lots of land. And we're told in the story that this man had land that produced abundantly. In other words, it was very, very fertile. So whatever seeds he sowed, whether that was wheat or corn or whatever, it grew bumper crops, and he had lots and lots of possessions. In fact, Jesus said, he had more than he knew what to do with. More than he knew what to do with. So what did he decide to do? Did he think to himself, I've got more than I can use, so I'll give some of it away. Is that what he did? No. What did he do? Sorry? He kept it. How did he keep it? He didn't have enough room to keep it, so what did he do? Yes. He built bigger and bigger barns so that he could keep more and more of his stuff. And one of the things about the story is that this man talked to himself a lot. Okay, we all talk to ourselves, don't we? And when he saw the land producing all that grain, all that wheat, he didn't think, "Oh, hasn't God been good to me?" He thought, "Look at all my stuff. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have achieved. I'm a pretty amazing person." That's what he was saying. All these possessions belong to me. He was saying to himself, you've done good. Put your feet up. You don't have to worry about the future. You can just live life today, enjoy yourself, and be merry. Now, this man made several big mistakes. Do you want to try and guess what those mistakes were? Anybody want to try and guess what? Yes, Simeon? He didn't think about God. That's a very good answer. He didn't think about God. That's one of the mistakes he made. Any other mistakes, you think? Yeah, he kept all that money, didn't he? For himself. He didn't think about other people. That was wrong, wasn't it? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a break now, and we're going to pray, all right? I'm going to allow you to go back to your seats, and then we're going to pray together on Harvest Sunday. Now, are there people you think we might pray for today? Are there people that you can think of who don't have clothes to wear and haven't been able to have breakfast like you and me? Do you know anyone like that, or have you seen anything like that on the TV? Who watches the TV? Who's seen the news? Yes? Yeah, folks who haven't got the things that we enjoy. We need to pray for them, don't we? There are farmers who aren't like this farmer, who have sowed all their seed and there's no crop because of drought. There's no water and the sun has burnt up all that they had to eat. So we need to pray for folks like that today. We need to thank God for the good things we enjoy, but we also need to pray for those in need who don't have the things we enjoy. And then we'll continue to think about the wrong things that that rich, greedy farmer did. Okay? So go back to your seats, and as you do that, I'll prepare to pray. Now, there were two things that this rich farmer did wrong. He remembered the wrong things. The first thing he remembered was himself. He remembered himself. It was all I, my, and me. Now, we're told by the experts that the present generation is the I generation, the generation that lives for self, that's constantly saying, me, me, me. And I don't think it's coincidental that Apple name all their products I something, iPad, iPhone, I this, I the other. And if we're honest, this is something that all of us struggle with. We want to be at the center of the attention. We want our needs to be met before the needs of our friends, neighbors, and family. And that's what this rich man did. He remembered just himself. And as he talked to himself, and he talked about the things that he was going to do, the things that he possessed, it revealed his heart. The way that we talk often reveals what's going on inside us. Have you ever been in a situation where you're in conversation with someone and they spend the entire time talking about themselves? That's a disquieting thing, isn't it? I certainly have had that experience, and I've certainly been that person, you know, wanting to get in and say my bit about what I've done and what I've achieved. And there's a warning here for us about that. Jesus wants us not to be I-focused, but to be other-focused, to be outward-looking, considering the needs of other people, one another, before ourselves. This man was driven by pleasure and comfort. He had certainly been successful, as many people in our world today are successful. And he viewed himself as being the most important one. Now, who do you think is the most important? That's a question to put to yourself every now and again. When you're engaged in a discussion around the family table and everyone's trying to say their piece, who is the most important? Is it me? Or do I have to listen to you and what you say as well? So this man, the first thing he did wrong was think of himself. He remembered himself. And came across this little... can I have the gravestone, please? Next slide. No. Oh, that's under the next one. Thank you, guys. Okay. So the first thing he did wrong was remember himself. And then he remembered the world. I came across that image, quite interesting. Self-absorbed. I need to have my photograph taken with my lovely designer handbag, and there's a tramp sitting on the step beside me. And that spoke to me of the way the world in which we live often thinks and works, ignoring the needs of those around us, putting us at the center of things. The second thing this man did, he remembered the world. He only lived for the here and now. He didn't think about spiritual truth or about spiritual reality at all. He didn't think about God. His life philosophy was take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Little has changed in 2,000 years since then. Can I have the next slide, please? We can be like that, can't we? Thinking only of the material things. Even when we're tiny and young, we see it, don't we? These are my toys. I'm not going to share them with you. And that doesn't change as we grow into adulthood. We still, if we're not careful, can be absorbed with our possessions, with our rank, with our status. Next slide, please. Eat, drink, and be merry. That was his philosophy, as is the philosophy of many of our friends and neighbours in the world today. But then this one. Next slide, please. Remember me for my stuff. Can you imagine that on your headstone? How do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered for your possessions, for the things that you possess, for the achievements that you accrue in this life? Or do you want to be remembered as a person who was outward looking, gave for the needs of others? Little's changed in 2,000 years. The Rolling Stones, many of you will have heard of them. Mick Jagger, who's now a wrinkly old man. When they were in their youth, they made millions and millions. And they squandered it on all kinds of things, sex and drugs and rock and roll. They still make millions and millions today. On one occasion, he was having a very expensive meal in a restaurant. And a reporter asked him how he was. And he said this, "Right now I'm happy. Eating a nice meal without pressure, to an old-fashioned existentialist, that's all that counts. That's all that counts." And many of our friends and neighbours say, "I have no religion," but that's a lie. They do. They worship the gods of this world. They worship materialism. They worship the consumer culture of which we are part. And they treat life as if all there is to it is what we can see and touch. They ignore the spiritual dimension. They ignore the fact that God is the one who gives life and breath to all things. You and I have a privilege to be able to open their eyes, to challenge them about that way of thinking. And we'll think about that in a few moments. Food, drink, material things aren't all that matters. Our greatest needs as human beings can't be met by material things. Listen to what Jesus says in that story we read. "Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions." That is not the bottom line of what life today is about. That inner emptiness, that separation from God that is caused by our sin, can only be fulfilled, satisfied, answered by faith in Jesus Christ. Material things will not suffice. David, in one of the Psalms, asked the question, "Can anything pay the price of a human soul?" And his answer is no. There is nothing that you can achieve, nothing that you can earn in this world that will make you right with God, that will bring you what you really need. Now, what do you really need? You need forgiveness. Because at the moment, if you're not trusting Jesus, you're out of step with your Creator, the one who made you in His image, the one who created you to worship Him and honor Him with all the gifts that you have and all the things you possess. That's what we're called to do as human beings. But if you don't know Jesus, if you're not acknowledging Him as your Savior and your Lord, you're out of step with your Creator. There's something not right. You'll never have peace, true peace, while that continues. So this man remembered the wrong things. It was all about him, and he thought about the world as if the world was all there is. That was not the case. So as we think on that for a moment, we're going to sing another harvest him. We plow the fields and scatter. And then we're going to think about three further things that this man forgot. Just want to think quickly about three things that the man forgot. He remembered himself, and as a consequence of that, he forgot all about his neighbours. When he saw this bountiful harvest, his instinct was to hoard it to himself, to keep it for himself, which, if you know your Bible at all, was not what God intended for a farmer in those days. God gave specific instructions in the law in the Old Testament that when harvest time came, there was to be provision made for the widow, the foreigner, the orphan in that society. So this man was disobeying what God wanted him to do. He forgot altogether about his neighbor. Now, what about you and I? It is so easy for us in this wonderful building, in the situation in which many of us find ourselves, to forget about our neighbors. So I just want to show you some slides. At this moment, in this world in which we live, life is very, very hard for people like you and me. This is the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. Next slide, please. This is Bangladesh, a woman trying to get clean water out of a standpipe. Next image. These are Rohingya Muslims who are alleged to be, and I'm not to argue it, the most persecuted people group in the world today. Now, they don't share our faith. We would long that they honored Jesus as Lord, but surely our hearts should bleed for individuals, for people who are starving today, who have nothing to drink, who haven't a clean, dry place to lie their aching limbs at the end of a day. Next image. These are displaced Syrian refugees as a result of war. How much do we pray for these individuals, for those who are fleeing for their lives from persecution in order to live another day? What about this one? Street children in the Philippines. Now, the thing is that just as God made provision in the Old Testament for the care of those who were suffering, those who had no roof over their head, those who had no food to eat, he does so today as well, and he does it through us. Let me read you a verse from Ephesians chapter 4. That we can often overlook. Paul is teaching and he says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. So he's talking about what happens before somebody becomes a Christian and then what should happen after. So before, how did you make a living? You stole things. What happens now? You work for a living. Okay, is that for yourself? No, Paul isn't finished. He says, doing honest work with your own hands. Why should I do that? Why am I working and laboring day by day at whatever calling God has given me? Here is the answer. So that you may have something to share with anyone in need. So that you, Christian this morning, would have something to share with anyone in need. Now, it's difficult for us, isn't it, to comprehend the level of suffering that there is in distant places. And yes, there is a limit to what we do. But I fear, when I look at my own heart, that I use that as an excuse not to be generous with the things that God has given me and to keep more for myself than I really, really should. We're studying 2 Corinthians on a Sunday evening, and we're going to be getting quite soon to that point where Paul talks about giving. And he describes it as being a grace, something that God enables us to do so that he is glorified as people are cared for. And we are called as Christians to be generous with our time and our talents. but also to be generous with those material things that our culture tells us you've got to build them, you've got to hoard them, you've got to have more of them. I remember we had, as part of our church family, a man who came from another culture. He came from an Islamic background, grew up as a Muslim, but he became a Christian when he came to England. And then he became a part of our church family. I baptized him several years ago. And for a while he walked faithfully after Jesus, and then he disappeared. And as we began to make inquiries, what we found was going on, the term that was used was, I'm building my kingdom in England. So he was investing everything in the house that he owned, in working 24/7, so that he could have those things. Now, part of me says, if you've lost everything, if you've lost everything, there will be a real desire to be secure. But his problem was, he forgot God, and he pursued those material things. Now that's an extreme example, an example that we had within our church family. But let's learn from it that we would be generous with what God has given. The second thing quickly that this man forgot was he forgot time. This guy thought that he was going to live forever. But what happened in the story? God listened, God saw, God heard, and God acted. And the life that God gave, he took at his pleasure. Because that's the thing, you see. All of our lives are on loan from our Creator. He determined the day that we would be born into this world, who our parents would be, what culture we were part of, what nation we were born into. He determined all of that. And for each one of us here today, he has determined the day in which he will take that life back to himself. And this man thought he was going to live forever. He forgot that time is a gift from God. One of the theologians says the most dangerous word in the English language is tomorrow. It's interesting, isn't it? No, I won't do that today. I'll do it tomorrow. And we're tempted to think that way, aren't we? There's an old story of three apprentice devils who were to be sent to earth on a mission. And they were telling Satan what they were proposing to do. The first one said, well, I'm going to tell everyone there's no God. And Satan said, well, that won't work. For a start, Satan believes in God. He said, that won't work. In their hearts, they know there is a God. The second one said, well, look, I'm going to tell them that there's no hell. Satan said, that's not going to work either. Even in this life, they have tasted the agony and sorrow of hell. So that's not going to work. The third one then said, I'll just tell them there's no hurry. And Satan said, go. Tell them that. And you'll ruin them by the millions. Now I say this to you with love. God has gifted you this moment, this opportunity to respond to him if you haven't already done so. He is the one who has created you, given you the gift of life. He sent his son to die in your place for your sin. And he invites you to trust him and have a relationship with the one who made you in his image. And now is the time that you need to respond. Because tomorrow may never come. The next hour may not be gifted to you. Now, young people think they're invincible. The older you get, the more savvy you tend to become that this body is going to break down. I'm not going to live forever. But don't be like this rich fool who thought that he had time, that he could say, I'll not deal with that issue now. I know what Wes is saying. I know that I need to come to Jesus, but I'll not do it today. I'll leave it for another time. No, no, no. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. This man forgot time. Please don't do that. Thirdly and finally, this man forgot God. The Bible defines a fool in Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, you may not be an atheist. There are lots of people in this world who claim that they are atheists. I'm not sure that that claim holds out for every one of them. But there are lots of people who do. You might be at school and you might have people who say to you, oh, I don't believe that there's a God at all. And that means they're saying, I'm an atheist. But you know, there are still more millions of people who live as if there's no God. Who in their hearts might say, well, I'm not sure whether God's real or not, but I'll just get on with my life anyway. I'll just do my own thing. I'll just, you know, live life without acknowledging God. And the Bible says, that's foolish. That's foolish. So as we come to an end, what are you living for this morning? Are you living for material things? Are you trying to hold on to the successes and pleasures of this world? Or do you know that God wants to have a relationship with you, and that he has sent Jesus so that your sin can be cleansed and washed away, so that you can be forgiven, so that a guilty conscience can be cleansed, and so that there can be nothing that stands between you and your Creator, so that you can have that peace, that harmony of living in the world that God has made with him as your friend, with him as the one who hears your prayers and seeks to guide and help you every moment of every day. Please don't be like this rich fool. He forgot his neighbors. He forgot that time's a gift. And he forgot God. There is nothing sadder in all the world than someone who tries to live as if there's no God. And there's nothing worse in all the world than a humanist funeral. But that's a story for another time. If you want to talk to me about that, then please see me afterwards. Please don't be possessed by stuff. Acknowledge your Creator, especially you younger ones, in the days of your youth, and you'll know much blessing as years go by. Let's stand and sing as we finish. For the fruits of his creation, thanks be to God. For his gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the ploughing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we're sleeping, future needs in earth's safekeeping, thanks be to God. Let's stand and sing together, and then remain standing, and I will close in prayer.